So today we're going to be talking about how to write a letter of introduction, which is the pitch equivalent for travel trade magazines. And some of my photos are missing, how sad. And in particular, we're going to talk about how to profile the magazine that you're looking for. And when I say profile, if you saw the email or the blog post related to this webinar, I talked about how when people apply for jobs, or a situation that we all find ourselves in all the time, when you go to a restaurant and you ask the waitress, "What should I order?" or the waiter, and they try to figure out how to give you the right answer for you. And it's this sometimes 30-second, sometimes 3-minute conversation in which each person is trying to convey information and ask for information to make the best match possible, while knowing absolutely nothing about the other person. And that's very similar to what we do when we pitch magazines, is that we try to figure out as quickly as possible what we need to know about the other party, which in this case is the magazine. Somebody's saying they're seeing the sound, but not the slides. It should have a little boat image in the background and say how to profile the magazine. Let me just stop the screen. Oh, some people see it. Okay, Anne, it might be just that you need to restart your Citrix then, because it seems like other people are seeing it. Okay, so back to profiling. So when we're pitching magazines, this is a situation where we need to be as quickly as possible determining certain things about the magazine. And then when we send the pitch letter, the editor is trying to determine as quickly as possible certain things about us. If we are a good fit, if our writing is good enough, things like this. So as we're putting together our letter of introduction, there's a certain process that you want to go through, and you can find your own way to do it, and you can take more time or less, but there's a certain process that we want to go through to make sure that we have enough information, not all the information, you're never going to have all the information, you can't read the editor's mind, but that we have enough information to make the best decisions about what to put in our letter of introduction. Oh no, sorry, the rest of these are from last week. I don't know what's wrong with my slides today. I'm so sorry. And then we're going to talk about what are the different characteristics of a letter of introduction and what needs to be in there. And then, as I mentioned, we've got three folks that we're going to look at their particular backgrounds and how to incorporate that into a letter of introduction. I have worked with lots of different travel trade magazines over the years in different industries and that are based in different places and that have different ways that they operate. So when I talk to you today about travel trade magazines, I'm not going to talk just about, one experience writing for one magazine. I've written for seven travel trade magazines, and I have a lot of friends who've written for them, and so I'm going to talk to you from that broad scope of both my own experience and what I've heard from other writers. So before we get started, for folks that weren't with the webinar last week, which was the introduction to travel trade magazines, I just want to really quickly catch up, and I'm just going to spend a couple minutes on this because we've got a lot to do, but on why travel trade magazines work so differently than consumer magazines. And I think there's still, in some cases, unfortunately, this notion that you can write up an article without an assignment from an editor, without having even spoken to an editor, and then pitch them the completed article. And that's something that definitely doesn't work with consumer magazines, and it also doesn't work with trade magazines. And so I just want to stress that when we're talking here about how you're not pitching to a specific article, what I'm not saying that you can kind of send them whatever you have lying around. And as we open up the travel trade magazines and look at that, you're going to see how these articles are perhaps even more than when we talk about consumer magazines and how they have sections that might not be what you're looking for instance, or what you expect. For instance, Air Canada's En Route magazine has a section that's just profiling a Canadian expat abroad. Not the kind of thing that you think is the high, fluffy stuff of print magazines, but that's a really easy section to get in there. And with trade magazines, you're going to see there's some things that might seem very easy for you to write, like five interesting desserts to add to your conference buffet table. But you have to really couch it in the vein of what travel trade magazines are looking for. So The main reason that we're talking today about sending a letter of introduction to travel trade magazines as opposed to sending a pitch to a specific article idea that you already have that matches a section that exists in their magazine is that travel trade magazines do something special. And I'm going to get to that on the next slide, but the thing about travel trade magazine editors is that they are assigning. So rather than them looking through all the pitches that come, they have ideas and they assign them to writers. And so what that means is that once you become in with them, once you are part of their stable, and we're going to talk more about that next week, then we're going to get assignments from them regularly every single month, more or less. And not just from the one magazine that you originally pitched, but travel trade magazines tend to come in packs. Editors typically edit more than one, and companies might even have multiple editors who are each editing three or four. So once you get in with them, you have the opportunity every month just from one initial letter of introduction to be getting 12 assignments a month. And the great thing about those assignments, what makes it very fast, is that, like I was saying, the editors come up with the ideas in-house, and then they pitch it to you. They say, would you be interested in doing this? And you get to say, that sounds okay, but I saw that you had this on the editorial calendar. Is anybody doing that yet? And then they say, oh, actually, would you like to do this? It's such a weird reversal of what we think about in terms of the editor-writer relationships, but it makes you save so much time on the pitching end. And then somebody had a question about what are the travel trades we should be looking at. And so I want to just also talk briefly, and these are the same slides from last week, so if you were with us last week, these are the exact same slides. And all of the list of all the travel trade magazines is also in the Six-Figure Travel Writing Roadmap. If you don't have a digital or print copy of that, I recommend you pick that up because we've got tons of listings of magazines, travel trade, custom magazines in the back, as well as all the different exercises and lessons. And like I said, there's information there on travel trade magazines as well. But the basic essence of what a travel trade magazine is that it is for people who work in the travel industry in some form or another. So perhaps they own a hotel, or they work in a hotel, or they are a bartender, or they are a travel agent, or they run a tour company, or they are a tour guide. They have some sort of travel-related job. And so the travel trade magazines are the professional magazines, the magazines that talk about how to do that job or give information for people who do those kind of jobs. And the thing about travel trade magazines is that you can't find them on the newsstand because they go automatically to people who have that job. They are on a list, they get it, they don't have to subscribe, because the way that travel trade magazines make their money, and part of what makes them more stable economically than consumer magazines being the ones that you can buy on the newsstand that are readily available for anyone to purchase. What makes the trade magazines more economically stable is that their reader base is qualified. So what that means is that they know exactly who their readers are and they've chosen them specifically. They're qualified, and they're qualified buyers, they're qualified purchasers. So advertisers, even if the circulation of the magazine is only a few thousand people, advertisers know that those magazine readers are people who will respond to the ads in the magazine. So there's a couple different main subdivisions of travel trade magazines, and I touched on them earlier when I was talking about the different types of people who might be receiving these magazines. And I've pulled up, not necessarily one from every single section on here, but when we switch over to Firefox to look at some magazines, you're going to see a breadth of the different ones here. But like I said, there's people who operate tours or who give tours. There's travel agents who do bookings. There's more general travel industry things, and this is the kind of magazine that, you know, every month now they have an article about how Trump is affecting the travel industry. There's hotel professionals of all different kinds, and you'll see on the next couple slides that the hotel ones I find perhaps to be the most interesting ones for a lot of us. They've got one that's on hotel design, one that's on hospitality technology. I'm always curious about that one. And then the ones for meeting planners, that's probably the biggest area. A ton of money is spent planning not just conferences, the types of things that you might see, but corporate meetings, association meetings, like the Agricultural Association of Cattle Growers of Nebraska. Like, they'll have a huge conference every year, and the meeting planners need to plan interesting activities that showcase the destination and choose food that is available in a catering capacity that, can allow somebody who doesn't have the time to leave their meeting and go out into the area, perhaps to have the best green chili burger from Albuquerque or something like that. So again, this whole list is available in the book, so I'm just going to go through this quickly. We also had it last week, but so you'll see the tour leaders is probably one of the smaller sections here, and then travel agents, there's quite a lot. And you'll notice in here there's a lot of ones that are international. So this is another area we talk about this when we talk about consumer magazines, where you might write a story for a US or a UK or an Australian publication, and then you can write a very similar story for a different publication in a different geographic area, but that has the same topic. So again, like I said, hotel professionals probably have the widest gamut in terms of what they cover. There's some that are luxury, there's some that are design, there's F&B means food and beverage in the travel industry context. There's some that are for hotel owners, there's some that are do technology. And then, like I said, the meeting planners, they really get the most. And in part that's because there are literally different magazines specific to all sorts of states, like all the biggest states that have big meetings. Okay, so let's get into what we're going to talk about today. How do we address the first point on today's agenda? How do we get the lay of the land of the magazine that we want to pitch so that we even know what background experience we have, we need to be serving up to them in the first place? And I've pulled up a couple different magazines, but I'd love for you guys to just take a minute and drop in the side what type of travel interest or travel experience you have that might match up with a trade magazine. So perhaps you really love interior design, or you, in your previous job, or if you still are in a different full-time job, you attend a ton of conferences, or you've planned events yourself. Or perhaps I just obsessed with Hospitality Technology Magazine because it just cracks me up. Perhaps you do have a tech background. Anything that you have in your life, in your experience, in your interest well, that could potentially match up with a travel magazine. Kerwin's got airlines. That's a great one. I actually didn't mention the airline magazines. There's a lot of aviation-related magazines as well that fall into this travel trade category. So yeah, just keep dropping those over here on the side because this will help me when we go through the magazines live today. And in fact, I just got a question over email about airline magazines. So, Kerwin, if you're able to drop in some names of some aviation magazines, I'll push those back out to the rest of the group. That would be great. Okay, so we've got, thanks guys, this is great. So we've got Destinations, Mexico, Caribbean, Hawaii. If you specialize in destinations, that can be really great for the meeting magazines as well. Meeting planning, tech, outdoor, food writer. Attending tons of conferences for cruises, travel agents. Already travel a lot, so destinations, and also multi-generational and children, family travel. Yeah, Sherry, you're totally family travel. Yeah, and it's interesting because I think that family travel is one of these areas that people I know who specialize in family travel don't typically ask me about writing for travel trades. But the interesting thing is, if you are used to writing about family travel, in a way, you are more familiar than a lot of people with the needs of the group market because you're used to the things that come up when you're trying to get a certain number of people together and things like that. So that can translate well either for the travel agent side or for the group tour side. Hiking and kayaking, health and wellness. Okay, in terms of magazines for aviation, Kerwin is suggesting Aviation Week. Yeah, that's a great one. Specialties, we've got food and off-the-trail exploring, diving, destination stories, timeshares. Oh, that's an interesting one. Yeah, traveling with a large family. Yeah. And so I'm just going to put the some of the aviation-related travel trade magazines, which I didn't have in that list before, out to all of you guys. And then we are going to pop out to Firefox. So let's all hope that this goes well. Okay. I think right now you should be seeing nothing. Now you should be seeing a browser window that has Agent at Home magazine pulled up. If you're not seeing that, let me know. And just let me know also if you are, so I know. Great. Thank you guys. Now, this is an interesting thing that I've noticed since that's changed since I first started pitching travel trade magazines, maybe in 2012, is that it used to be very, very easy to get the full issue of all of these magazines online. And now I've seen that because they want not just to have their circulation qualified, which, as I mentioned, is important for them with their advertisers, but because the travel trade magazines themselves has moved into the event business. This is a big thing, and at the conferences for people who run magazines, for publishers and editors, they have been speaking a lot to the travel trades about how they should be running their own event for their cohort, and specifically how the data that they collect about their readers, they can be selling and they should be selling, and that can be a significant source of income for them. So these factors in the economics of how these magazines work mean that they've now gated a lot of their full issues. So for instance, I went to Agent at Home magazine, which I have, and I know I've had digital copies of in the past, and I realized that you couldn't just click on this cover here and download the magazine. However, if you click here on this subscribe for free, then they're going to go over and they're going to tell you qualified agents can read all these things, subscribe now free. And then they're going to take you to this thing where you have to go through the typical qualification process. However, what I've noticed is that they've made this quite a bit shorter because it's annoying and they do want to make sure people get the magazines. So if there is a magazine that you are interested in writing for that is gated like this, give it a shot to go through and do the little subscription and see if you can get on their list. I spent a little while this morning trying to pull up some magazines for you guys and found that with most of them, I was able to pretty quickly go through and just give them my email that I use for subscriptions and things like that and get through to the actual magazine. But I want to show you Agent at Home also to show you what to do if you're having a hard time getting this information. So, for instance, I pulled up this magazine and I was like, well, if I forget about even the content for a second, if I can't get the full magazine, how do I know who the editors are, who to pitch? And so I came down here, okay, and there's this Write For Us section, which is hilariously short, and I'll get to that in a second. And Advertise, I'm going to pull this up as well for us to see. Da-da-da-da, contact us, okay? So I clicked through, and it turns out that Advertise, Write For Us, and Contact Us all go to the same page. It's a little unusual. But what happens is that then you go here and you've got all sorts of email addresses. And in particular, you don't just have email addresses that are general, like the support and sales, but they give you the email addresses for each of the editors. Now, for people who've been trying to pitch consumer magazines, especially big newsstand magazines for a while, this is amazing, right? You don't have to hunt around, you don't have to use the database, you don't have to go to a private Facebook group, you can just get the editor's email address. And this is because, like I mentioned in the previous webinar, the travel trade magazines have a much closer relationship with the industry as they're writing about the industry. And so they want to make it easy for PR people, for destinations, for whoever to get in touch with them. And so that's why their email addresses and their titles and everything you need to know about them is very, very prominently displayed on their websites. And I did find one where that's not the case. And so if you're in a situation where you can't get the physical magazine, and the physical magazine should also have these same email addresses you're seeing here on the masthead, but if you can't get the physical magazine, for travel trade magazines, what I recommend is to go to LinkedIn and look in LinkedIn for the name of the company and editor and get the editor's name and hopefully email address that way. Because, like I said, they are very connected to the community, the professional community. So if the publication's website is a bit sparse, that's going to be the best way to get in touch with them. So let's look around this magazine a little bit. And I wanted to hold on to this editorial page for a little bit, because what I want to talk about in terms of familiarizing yourself with the magazine is that you need, with trade magazines, to not only familiarize yourself with what the magazine is looking for, but like we do with consumer magazines, know which parts aren't open to freelancers. And you're going to say, but wait, didn't I just say we don't put them in the travel magazine database because you don't pitch to certain sections, so you don't really need to know which parts are open to freelancers? Here's why. The reason you want to know what's written in-house and what's open to freelancers before you write your letter of introduction, and it doesn't have to be in the level of detail that you're going to write a pitch, but the reason you want to have a sense of which sections are written in-house is to frame your background accordingly. And so I say this because let's go back and look at some of the type of things they have. Somebody had asked earlier, we were talking about destination content, right? And I said a lot of these travel trades do have a lot of destination content. But in some cases, most of it is going to be written by the editors because, as part of their role of keeping up connections with the industry, they themselves need to go on trips and show their face to the different CVBs and DMOs and tourism boards to keep those connections going, to get advertising dollars, etc. So it can often be that a lot of the destination features are written in-house for that reason. In other cases, the editors never get to travel, and so the destination content is always written by freelancers. The other side of that is that here we've got one called Smart Flyer University. I'm going to pull up some of these so that we can look at them. The different types of articles that you're going to see in travel trade magazines tend to fall into a couple different categories, and this magazine has a lot of them pulled up, so I'm going to use this as an example. So you'll see that we've got these sort of profile pieces that are written by a personality in the industry or about a personality in the industry that have a message. Then you'll see that we have these very service, and again, service means how to advice, these very service style pieces that tell you things about how to do your job. Then you'll see that we have things that are sort of trend type pieces that talk about larger things that are going on in the industry. And then there's also going to be newsy things, and those will almost always be written by the editors. And then you're going to have these ones that are more the destination sort of content that we're talking about. And then there's going to be larger features, and sometimes they'll be service and sometimes they'll be destination. So let's look at a couple of these. So here is a piece which it seems a bit newsy. It seems like a business profile. So this is talking about Smart Flyer, which it seems like is it's an agency. Okay, and so this whole article is essentially just telling them what this thing is and how it works, and it's not very long. And it's by Michael Holtz. So let's see, who is Michael Holtz? Does he work for the magazine or is he a freelancer? So this is written by the CEO of Smart Flyer. So this is really interesting to note because you're going to see this as you start to go through these travel trade magazines. And I'm going to harp on this in a minute when we get to how to put together your letter of introduction. With the travel trade magazines, there's going to be a certain number of articles every month that are written by people who aren't writers. And they might be, like this gentleman, somebody who runs a company. And they are essentially getting free publicity by writing for free for this magazine. This is not uncommon, and I'm going to go down and check a couple of the other writers as I'm doing this. This is not uncommon, and in fact, it makes sense because whether these travel trade magazines are connected to a professional association or whether they are just serving people who work in an industry with information, it behooves them to be featuring members of the community to create more investment and also to show that they really are using the words that make sense, the experience, the on-the-ground eyes of those readers. So here's a guy who is a veteran travel executive and entrepreneur, chief motivation officer, right? So this guy is basically a professional speaker. Now, one of the really interesting things that I want to point out to some of you who are looking at doing content marketing is that these things are not typically written by this guy. They are often ghostwritten by another writer who is paid, even though this guy isn't being paid for this article. So how to get those, that's a whole other discussion. And it's a little bit, you're not going to find out about that by pitching this magazine. You would need to go approach the person individually. And you could, if you see that somebody has a column that they're writing regularly, you could always write them and ask if they're doing it themselves, but that might not go over very well. If they already have a writer, they don't need you. If they're already doing it themselves, they'll be insulted. So If you do want to do these kind of things in a ghostwriting way, you need to approach somebody who's a business owner and offer to ghostwrite articles for trade magazines for them from scratch when they don't already have something going. Let's check out this other writer. So this is another one, right? Founder and CEO of Taylor and Co. Travel and creator of Miss Travelist blog. Like, look, see, this is a person who has a blog and she's got a travel business related to it. And she is being the talking head, the personality writing for these travel trade magazines. So I know that we've spoken about this before, but especially those of you who have your own businesses setting up tours or a travel agent business or anything like that, writing for trade magazines is great for you both because it's going to be very easy for you to get in and also because it gets more exposure for what you're doing. Just got a couple questions coming in. Okay, this question is, would you suggest that if you have previous experience writing for other types of travel trade magazines, like ghostwriting these types of articles that I'm talking about, to, I think, mention that in the query letter? And yes, you definitely can. If you have ghostwritten these types of articles in the past, the only caveat is make sure that you don't have some sort of NDA or work for hire or something where you can't mention that you wrote that article. But there's even ways around that. You can say it generally and you can not say the name of the magazine you wrote for or the person that you ghostwrote for. So I have definitely mentioned ghostwriting experience in my letters of introduction for travel trade magazines before as well. Okay, so let's keep looking at the types of articles that we've gotten here. So this one is interesting. It's talking about a trend piece, how people who are independent contractor travel agents are now the majority of leisure travel agents. So that means like not group, this is people who are traveling individually for vacation. And you know, a lot of people have been saying for years that travel agents are dead or that there's no need for travel agents because of the internet, but there's actually been quite a renewed and sustained interest in this industry. And so this is going to be one of the types of articles like I was talking about, which is a trend piece. But if you think that you would be interested in writing, whether it's for travel agents or for meeting planners or something like that, and you don't know any, how do you find out about these trends, right? Nobody asks this, but this is a very big question that I get from people who want to break into writing for industry but aren't a part of that industry. And here is a very, very easy tip. Go on Facebook, or sorry, not Facebook, go on LinkedIn and find some LinkedIn groups that are for the people who would read this type of magazine and join those groups. And then you will see in the discussions, because as I was saying earlier, LinkedIn is where a lot of these professional discussions are happening. Even though there are increasingly Facebook groups for that, there's a lot of these discussions happening on LinkedIn. So in these LinkedIn groups, you just scan the discussions, and that's how you pick up these trends. That's how you see these things that are affecting the daily lives of these people who have jobs that you don't know about, but that you'd like to start writing about. So here's another one of these pieces, which is essentially going to be a profile of a certain tool. Like I said, this is something that's a destination profile, but it's really about four hotels in a destination. And to go back to what we were talking about before in terms of destinations and what type of destination content can you do, that's really going to be different for every magazine. So in this case, they were very specifically talking about hotels because for travel agents, they want to know about the hotel to be able to sell it. They need to know quite a lot. They kind of need to know what are the best rooms. They need to know what's different. They need to know how to talk to their own customers about it. Whereas if you did a destination piece for meeting planners, it would be very different. It would be about the meeting venues. It would be about the activities. It would be restaurants that have enough space or a private dining room to hold a large group. So destination content becomes filtered through these lenses. And what that means is that as you are traveling and as you are on your same trips that you've always been taking, by just looking out for a couple additional things, just looking out when you're touring a museum and asking, hey, do you hold events here? How many people? How often? Just asking a couple extra questions, you can get the information that you need to do these secondary destination pieces from a trade context. Okay, so I want to switch over and look now at another magazine. So, like I said, this is kind of the travel agent example. So I've also pulled up one that is for meeting planners. So this one is called Connect, and it's weird. The group is called Collaborate. So I think when I first looked them up, I actually looked up Collaborate, but I think they used to be called Collaborate, and now they've broken out into three different meetings that are called Connect. So again, this is going to be the type of place where you can't just download the whole issue directly, but you can see everything that's in it. So I pulled up a couple different issues here. And so see, they've got the features, and like I said, what Trump means for meetings. And they've also got some specific online content. But one of the great things also about having the cover of the magazine is that you can see what is important. What are the big stories to them, even if they're not the features? Because if you see here, there's only two features, but there's four things, five things in here, and this one is down here. So what else are they covering here? What is important to them? There's a lot of these strategy service how-to articles that I was telling you about, but then there's also a lot of these ones that are sort of profiles. Some of them are service. This is like how to do team building, but this one is a profile, right? How a cattle ranch catered to a vegan group. That's very interesting, and as I'm sure a lot of you see when we go to travel conferences, having vegetarians appropriately taken care of in a group setting can be very challenging. So this is the kind of thing of like, huh, this is a neat idea. How could I take this idea and not pitch it back to the same magazine, but maybe I could ask another magazine if I can write an article like this. And we're going to talk when we talk about the structure of the letter of introduction, how to delicately weave between here are some ideas I could write even though I'm not writing an actual pitch. But as you'll see, a lot of these, like I said, are service. And so what event professionals can learn from Elon Musk, like a lot of these are things that you don't have to have a background in this industry to be able to talk about. And then something like this, Marriott's Global Brand Officer on the 2017 trends, this is going to be hugely interview based. And we spoke quite a bit last week about doing interviews, a little bit about setting up interviews, but trade magazines are really built around interviews in a way that the travel section of consumer content typically doesn't. And so what that means, which is nice, is that as a lot of your articles will be almost 100% based on what somebody tells you in an interview, like this one, it's really just what one guy said, you can write those things very, very fast based off of that interview because you don't need to do additional research. So then this is a good selection of the type of destination content that I'm talking about. So here's some general hotel news. Here's a review of a particular place. Here's a larger destination, so this is going to be all about Overland Park, and this is going to be an interview piece. I've got another one of their publications pulled up, so let's look through that one. So see again, here we've got in the briefings, we've got also some of this destination content, but it's a little more news oriented. So San Francisco joins forces with Airbnb, this fancy sweatpants thing. What is this doing in a meeting magazine, right? I don't know, but this is kind of what I love about writing for these magazines is that because the editors just assign you things, you're not necessarily just going to be stuck. You might think, oh, I'm doing boring write-ups of, you know, how to negotiate the clauses of your contract for meetings to make sure that you're protected in case of a fire. No, it's not that, because that's boring to their readers as well. So they're going to have things like this, and they're going to have, like I was mentioning, if you're into interior design or entertaining or anything like that, there's a lot of things that are trends in entertaining, trends in buffets, trends in parties that are going to show up in these meeting magazines. Okay, let's scoot over to one more example, and then I'm going to pop back and talk about writing the letters of introduction. So I pulled up some full issues here. Okay, here we go. So this is Hospitality Today. This is not US-based, and it's going to be a bit more general in terms of its content as opposed to the travel agent specific and the, whoops, whoa, I don't know what's happening, sorry. The travel agent specific and the meeting planner ones we just looked at. But I want to show you this full issue and how, like I said, when you go to, this is a weird viewer, okay, when you go to the masthead here, it has the editor's direct email address right here. So pretty much without fail, when you get a physical copy of a trade magazine, you're going to be able to get your hands on the editor's email address. Okay, let's see if I can move around here. Okay, let's just zoom back out. Okay, so in this issue, I'm just going to read it to you because I know it's probably a bit small. Jamie Oliver is opening a new restaurant. Visit England has won an award. There's some news. There's some more trends. Let's see, where do we get to the features, right? Oh, I think these are the things that are on top here. So like I was saying, there's going to be a lot of interview-oriented stuff. Here they've got a big interview with Jamie Oliver about his new restaurant. And it goes on for 6 pages, right? So one of the interesting things that I found about writing for Travel Trades is that unlike consumer magazines, where they really need the photos to keep people interested and draw them in, a lot of times the travel trade magazines, in this case, it's like eschewed with design, right? It doesn't really care about the design. It's just plopping the stuff in there, more or less. But you can get a lot more words. And so I mentioned this last week, but what that often means, and this article that we just went by is a good example, so I'm going to focus back on this. But what that often means is that if you are looking to get into writing features and feature-length content, this is a great way not only to get that word count, but to learn to have a mentor in that editor, to learn to write journalistic reported narrative features. Okay, let's pop over another one. So I pulled up lodging, which is also going to be a bit general, but about the hotel side of the industry. So here we're going to see 4 ways to build guest loyalty. Again, this is going to be a service piece, and it's probably going to be based on interviews. Checking in with Timothy Smith. This is going to be an interview. Here's a news piece. Technology. New hotel booking app targets millennials. So this, again, is going to be one of these technology profiles. Then we've got design. We've got a profile of a redesign of a hotel. We've got more advice here. We've got boosting hotels' advantage in group business negotiations. The narrative importance of hotel uniforms. Like, that can be kind of fun to research, you know? Okay, I don't want a tutorial, but hopefully this works. So here's Lodging Magazine. Right? So many ads, because that's how they make their money. When you see a lot of ads, that's great. It means the magazine is doing well. And you'll see here that this is a much more design-oriented magazine than the last one we looked at. So not all travel trade magazines are going to look like they were made in the 90s, you know, in PowerPoint. There's a lot of them that are going to be really lovely, and this one is a great example. And so as you'll see here in the table of contents, it looks just like a consumer magazine. And then when we get to the masthead, this is one of these cases where you're not going to see the emails on here for the editors like you often would in a consumer magazine, but you do see the email addresses for everyone else. So it's very easy to piece together. Okay, let's see. This name is Solomon Ortassi, and it's S. Ortassi. So this is going to be K. Hughes is going to be her email address. Okay. And as you go through here, it's going to be set up just like a consumer magazine. In the beginning, there's some news pieces that are short and that don't have a byline, so those are going to be written by the editors. Then we get into, now here is, it looks like a hotel profile. Whoops. A hotel profile, and sorry, this is really not friendly for showing you guys quickly. And I can't see the byline in there. It looks like it might have been written in-house. Here we can see the byline. This is going to be written by a freelancer. It's an interview. It's a success story. And we're still in their news and insights category, right? So these are small, just like consumer magazines. They've got a lot of sidebars. So the reason I wanted to show you these, and I'm going to pop back over to PowerPoint now. The reason I wanted to show you these is to show you that they really are quite different, the different trade magazines, okay? And so while I can tell you, you know, some trade magazines look like they were made in the 90s. They're not all. Some of them are really beautiful. And so the way that you're going to pitch them requires you to go in and check out what the magazine that you are pitching specifically is like. So oftentimes when people talk about doing a letter of introduction for a travel trade magazine, they talk about it as if you can write one letter of introduction and then blanket send that same letter of introduction out to every magazine. And I understand that theoretically, because you do want to have essentially the same information about yourself and your achievements. However, it's not going to be the most successful thing. And if you think about it, if you're applying to a writing gig that you saw online, is it going to be very successful if you send the exact same letter out to everybody? No, of course not. You want to write to the specific requirements the specific request, the specific details of that job. And it's going to be the same with the travel trade magazines, okay? So the basic letter of introduction structure that I want to go over with you is the following. So you want to start as much as possible with a warming mechanism. Now, what does that mean? Do you guys know the difference between like warm and cold emails or warm and cold approaches or warm and cold calls in terms of sales? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Okay, so to sort of break it down, when you are approaching somebody in a sales call capacity, and when we're writing to editors, we're doing sales, right? We're selling our writing. And you have a cold approach, that means you have no connection to the editor. And they open it not knowing who you are. So they're initially on their guard. Whereas if you have a warm approach, it means that you have found a way to sort of thaw the ice of that connection. And that can be by knowing somebody in common. That can be achieved also by other means. And I saw a really great example at the TBEX in Huntsville of this. We had a keynote speaker who's a big YouTuber, and he got to interview Obama. And he is from Alabama, and he has an accent, and he, as far as Obama was concerned, just seemed like he was going to have very opposite viewpoints and not be a Democrat and all these things. And so in the interview, in the very beginning, to warm things up, he said something, and you could just see Obama's face completely change. And then it became a much different interview. He wasn't as guarded. And so we want to always begin our letter of introduction with a warming mechanism. So what does that mean? Right? Because do we know somebody? Probably not. So my favorite warming mechanism for approaching magazines is, and this might seem a little petty, but I have heard from editors that they just love it, is to find a piece that the editor that you are writing to has recently written for the magazine and compliment them on it. Obviously, at least try to read it and pick out something specific in there to compliment them on. But you can say, oh, I saw your news piece on blah, blah, blah. That's so interesting. I love the quote that you got from the CEO. Or I just saw your feature on the 4 new hotels in Jamaica. I really loved that the way you described blah, blah, blah. So you don't want to just compliment them and say, I liked your article. You want to do something to show them that you actually appreciate something they have done. I just want to make sure, if you're not seeing the slide that says LOI structure, let me know. That's got the 6 points on it. So once we've done our warming mechanism, and this seems to be very short, guys, because we don't want to test the editor's patience in terms of getting to the point of why we are emailing them, because you don't have goodwill forever. So after our warming mechanism, we are going to break into our biggest, baddest writing experience. So this begs the question, what if you don't have big, bad writing experience? Any of the things on here, except for 1 and 6, are optional. So if you have not been writing for a long time, if you have not written for the New York Times or Travel and Leisure or anything like that, do not worry about it, okay? What you want to do here, the most important thing, is just to show that you have pertinent experience. And as I mentioned last week, the pertinent experience for Travel Trade Magazine can be one or the other. It can be writing or industry experience. So in this case, if your writing experience or your publication record or the names you have at your disposal to drop are a bit sparse, then don't worry about dropping them. Oops, sorry. But what you can say is, say you have been a paralegal for 17 years and you've been writing briefs and preparing reports and filings and all sorts of things. You can say you have been writing professionally for 17 years without saying where. Or, for instance, if you have been working as an admin, but perhaps you've been doing blog posts or you've been ghostwriting. So, for instance, when I worked at MIT, I was ghostwriting for the president. I certainly put that in my letter of introduction. That's a big deal that I was ghostwriting for the president of MIT. So this is not the place necessarily to worry whether you have a clip from this magazine or that magazine or the other magazine, because with travel trades, they sometimes are actually not the happiest if you have a lot of really big consumer clips, because they think you won't get how to write for the trade magazines. And whether that's true or not is kind of besides the point, but it's just an assumption that they make. So I really like to use this part just to show that you are a professional writer. And I'm going to tell you on the next slide also why that's important. Somebody's asked in here about photography experience. So as I mentioned, when we were looking at the physical magazines themselves, some of them care about visuals and some of them don't. And will they ever want you to provide photos with your pieces? This is an interesting question. In travel trade magazines, you are almost always providing photos of your pieces. However, you aren't shooting the photos. So they typically want you to get photos from the places that you are profiling, like the individual venues or museums, or from the convention and visitors bureaus. So photography experience is not actually super pertinent in the trade setting unless you are pitching a magazine that has a photography angle. So for instance, if you are a professional photographer and you lead tours, the tour part of your photography business is going to be more attractive to a trade magazine editor than the fact that you are a photographer. Now, you could switch it, and we're going to talk about this when we talk about specific examples, but you could say, rather than harping on your photography experience, use it to say you have been working as a member of the travel media for 15 years or something like that. Or without saying that it's your photographs, you could say you've been published here, here, and here. So there's ways to kind of get around that, but because you don't shoot photos for these magazines, it's kind of a sticky situation. So someone had a great question, and oh, I didn't know this about you. So someone said, I used to own a print magazine, but I never mention it because it was a very small niche magazine and it only lasted for 4 years. Should it be mentioned? Of course it should. If you have been an editor, when you're pitching a consumer magazine, when you're pitching Travel and Leisure, they totally don't care. But when you're pitching a trade magazine, they really do care because it shows that you understand how to put together a story, how to interact with, you know, these sort of seemingly sometimes esoteric editorial needs that you have to include a certain thing in the article because of this advertiser or something like that. So for sure saying if you have worked in a full-time way with a magazine, whether editing or ads or anything like that, would definitely make sense in your letter of introduction. And I'm going to get to that a little further down. So your biggest baddest writing experience, this can be years. This can be taking something that you did in a full-time context. This can be names of magazines. This can be a lot of different things. But your trade/industry experience. So this is where we're going to be talking about your trade industry experience in the section of the travel industry that the magazine you are pitching caters to. So this isn't where we're going to mention if we've been an editor at a magazine. This is where we're going to mention any connection we have to the industry at hand. So let's look at the magazines that we looked at before, right? We looked at Travel Agent at Home. We looked at Connect, which is meeting planners. We looked at Hospitality Today, which is general. And we looked at lodging. So say you are pitching the meeting planning magazine. Obviously, this is the place where you would mention any event experience that you have. If you have planned events for a job, if you've planned events for a nonprofit, if you've planned events for your PTA, whatever. If you're pitching Travel Agent at Home, you're going to either say, if you are a travel agent, if you are closely connected with a travel agent, if you plan trips through your blog for people, if you typically plan trips for groups of a certain size because you are a family travel writer, anything like that. If you're pitching lodging magazine, this is where you say, you know, well, I might not have worked in the hotel industry. I have been writing hotel reviews on the consumer side, this, this, and that. So we start with like the general impressive writing, and then we get into any writing or work experience. And again, it can be writing or work experience that you have that's related to the industry. And then, Debbie's asking, does biggest and baddest mean best? So, again, on biggest and baddest, that can be the length of your career, that can be the best clips that you have, that can be other types of writing that you did in a professional capacity, but you want to choose kind of like the single sentence or long sentence or maybe two different things that are really the most powerful, because then you're going to really lay the groundwork with your other experience. So we've got the travel industry experience. And this is going to be the kind of case where, let's take the example of somebody like Kerwin, who's on the call, if he's still on the call, who has a lot of experience in aviation. His website is about this. He has a company related to this. He speaks about it all over the place. But what if he wants to write for a different vertical, a different type of travel trade magazine? How can he translate his aviation industry experience? So in this case, he would say, you know, he has worked for, and he could say major airlines, or he can say for major travel companies, or he can say he has been an insider in the travel industry for this many years, and a member of the travel media for this many years, and speaks about travel trends internationally. So if you want to move sideways from an area that you are particularly experienced in, this trade industry thing is where you do it. It's where you take something that you've done in the travel sector, and then you kind of turn it. Now, the next one is the personal experience. So this is going to be the things that you've done that aren't work-related that feed into particularly the industry, not so much writing. So this isn't where we mention all of our general writing experience, that we've had a blog for 10 years. If you have awards, you can mention those here. But what this is for, more importantly, is for if you are just very personally interested in a subject. So for instance, it might not be that you have experience planning meetings or conferences, but you are an avid host and you hold the block party every year for 300 people, something, something. And you might be like, oh my God, should I really be telling the editor that? But here's the thing, like I said, travel trade magazines are, in terms of the editors, they're threading this gap where they need people who have industry experience and writing, and they'll often take one or the other. So if you do have a lot of writing experience, but you seem like you don't have as much industry experience, you need to show the editor that you can make that you can understand it, that you're interested in learning about it, that you can see from that viewpoint in any way you can. And the other important thing about including this little bit of personal experience is, and especially if you can do it in a funny way, is that it humanizes what's been a big dump of here's how cool I am, okay? It humanizes it and it brings the editor back in the same way that we did with the warming mechanism. It brings back that personal conversation element. Now, number five is something that's quite a bit optional. So I'm just going to explain what I mean about this, and then I've got another slide that's kind of final tips where I'll talk about this further. But when I say your best professional features, this is also a hard needle to thread. This is where you say things like, you know, I'm great at meeting deadlines and working under pressure, blah, blah, blah. But we don't want to say something so bland and boring. We want to say something much more like, you know, in my writing career, I've handled situations like a source dropping out last minute for a big feature, or this is that, and I've always come back and filed the story on time. So this is the section where you want to say a sort of slightly general thing about your qualities, not as a writer, but as a worker, okay, as a person who gets your shit done. And you need to make sure you say it in a way that is not dry. This is really important because these letters of introduction, the ones that I see, and even when I was researching this call, not that many people write about this, and the ones that I did see were so freaking boring. There were just lists of credits and this, that, and the other thing. You want to, in this section, show the editor that you will make their life easier, not that you only know how to use boring keywords, because that will make their life easier. Now, the way to wrap up a letter of introduction is a little different than how you wrap up a pitch, right? So the way I recommend you wrap up a pitch is to say, would you be interested in a profile on the scuba diving company that's changing the Great Barrier Reef for your hot and upcoming category, hot and upcoming section of your magazine? So that's how we wrap up a pitch that's for a specific article. But the way we wrap up a letter of introduction is to say, I would love to have an opportunity to write for your publication. Could you let me know if you would like me to send a full pitch on a certain topic, or if you assign directly from the editorial calendar, and when you might have some openings for that? So this is the thing, is because, and we're going to talk about this again in a little bit, is that all editors for trade magazines work a little bit different, but they do generate more ideas in-house, and you don't know what their time frame is, you don't know what needs they have, you don't know what sections they have written already by regular contributors. So you need to kind of say to them, I would like you to give me some work, but I'm also willing to work for that. So if you want me to send you some a more fleshed out pitch around an idea you have, I'll do that, but I'm not sure if that's how you work, so let me know. But you need to say that in a way where you just don't sound like a loser. So the format that I mentioned earlier is preferred. And again, if you didn't catch it in the recording, you can play it back and get that. So I want to go quickly through because we're almost at time. Oh, we are at time. If you need to go, let me just pop quickly over to those final tips just in case people need to go. Okay, so the things that you can do to really knock it out of the park, but don't worry about these if you're feeling a little nervous about how to match your experience and all these things. But the things that can really knock it out of the park are the following. You need to make sure that you're differentiating yourselves from those people that I was talking about earlier that are pitching to write for the magazine for free to boost their business. Now, if you do have some sort of travel company and you are using that as some of your industry-specific experience in your query letter, you need to be especially careful about this. And you want to just make sure that in your letter, you make it clear that you are a full-time or at least part-time professional writer who gets paid to write for magazines. And obviously, you don't want to say it in that way, but you just want to make sure that you slant your letter a bit more to be clear that you write for pay for publications and that you aren't just pitching them for a vanity column. Now, another thing that you can do is you can put your best experience in the subject line. So what this means is that if you are, and I know there's a couple of these on the call, if you are a travel agent or have been a travel agent in the past, you can say, travel agent, look, current or past, you can say current travel agent and freelance travel writer available to write for your publication or something like that. Or, you know, experienced event planner turned travel writer pitching your publication. But you want to make it clear in the subject line, A, that you're pitching, like I said, you want to differentiate yourself from a normal industry person, but highlight why they should open that email and why they should be intrigued with you. Now, relevant samples in the same industry. This is an interesting one, and I never tell people to include links in your initial email. It looks cluttered, and if they want them, they'll ask for them, and your letter is a pitch, and it should stand on its own as a writing sample. But you should mention if you have relevant samples in the same industry. And so what I mean by this is if you, and this was Kristen's question earlier, I believe, if you have written, whether ghost written or just as internal communications, but if you have written anything that is in the industry of the publication you are pitching, you need to say that. So if you, for instance, have written white papers on aviation trends, if you have written internal reports, or you've written programs for meetings for the nonprofit that you work, anything like this, any type of writing that you have done that is related to the industry that you're pitching, you want to describe that, not at length, but just explain that you have also done these things in the past. And then in that section where we're talking about our professional sort of attributes that can be helpful to the editor, if you are available either to travel to a destination to write a review, or just to take on assignments last minute, put that in there. It's very valuable and very important, and that can be a big mechanism to help you break in. Okay, so I'm going to switch over and talk about some different examples that folks have sent in, and I'm going to try to keep this short, both for you guys and also because I am here at the North American Travel Journalists Association Conference, and we're going on some tours this afternoon, which is why we had to do the webinar early today. So I think this is the first one. Let's go. Okay, yep, here's the first one. So I got to close the window to see this, but you guys can start reading this, and I'll read it aloud as well for anybody who's just listening on the phone. I have several years of experience in the event and meeting planning industry. This is great, right? As well as of director of philanthropy. I'm interested in knowing more of how I can use that skill set to write for travel trades. I also recently wrote an article for my community newsletter profiling two couples who fell in love RVing. That would be the extent of my article writing. Based on your webinar, I feel comfortable that this would be a good fit for me. This is a great example of you might not have really any writing experience, okay? But that doesn't mean that you aren't exactly what a travel trade magazine is looking for. And so in particular, what I would recommend in this setting, and I took all the names off, and actually now I'm not sure who these all belong to, but in this setting, I would recommend that you do have to at least dig up for, and let's go back to it, for this part where we talk about the writing experience, you do have to at least dig up some types of writing that you have done in one or two of these jobs. And as a director of philanthropy, I imagine that she's put together campaigns or strategic plans or things like that. So what I would recommend in this case is for sure to be pitching the event and meeting planning magazines. But perhaps because she has so many years of experience, and I also have a background in philanthropy, and you do a lot of events in that kind of job, so it's a really great example here. But to find ways, to find specific magazines that will take advantage of that experience. So as I mentioned, when it comes to meeting planning, there's really a lot of magazines. So how do you choose which ones you should pitch? Should you just pitch all of them or send a letter of introduction to all of them? You certainly can. But in this case, because she has so much experience, what I would recommend is to go to the ones that are more about how to do the job rather than just write-ups of destinations. So if we really quickly run back, we'll see here, there's, like I was saying, there's all these ones on the different states, there's Midwest meetings, there's religious meetings, there's this is, oh, the Business Travel News is in the wrong one, but association meetings. One plus is also more general meetings, previews general meetings, physician travel and meetings. That one could also be much more specific about how to plan the meetings. But you want to parse it out and sort of look at the bigger fish that are really going to value someone that's had these many years of experience and go after them. And so as you're putting together the specific text in the letter of introduction, in the industry and trade experience, I would spell out, you know, I've planned this many meetings a year, I've planned meetings of this size, I've run a team, so I have supervised and trained people to run meetings, because that's really going to read well to the editor. Okay, let's check out the next one. In the meantime, I've also got a question. Given how you've mentioned how interview-based trade magazines are likely to be, the question's a little backwards, but what app do you use to record calls from a smartphone? Simply use the speaker feature. So I talked quite a bit last week about interviews and how to do them. So check out that webinar if you have the recording. And the short version of this is that I don't always record my interviews. I record them when the person is a bit litigious. Like literally, I used to do a lot of interviews with meeting planners for financial firms and law firms. So in those cases, you absolutely have to have the recording. But I typically write notes as I go along. But if you do need to record the calls, either for yourself so you can check the quotes later, or for because the source has asked you to, or because the magazine has asked you to, I do often just put it on speakerphone and record it through GarageBand on my laptop. But a lot of people do their interviews through Skype because they can record through Skype, but I don't like the call quality on doing internet calls, so I usually try to do them from my cell phone even when I'm out of the country. But everybody has a different preference, and I know some people have really nice microphones and they'll, you know, maybe do it where they connect their cell phone to the nice microphone so it goes in there directly. So there's a lot of different ways to record your interviews if you choose to go that route. Okay, here's a bulky one, so I'm going to go through this quickly. I'd love to write for travel trades and would also enjoy doing some of the interview type articles, so this ties into Anne's question. I believe that I have some strengths that would fit well with these publications, including the following. I'm used to writing and submitting articles ahead of deadlines as a general rule. So this is the kind of thing that would go in that section 5 on your best professional attributes that you can mention. And then she goes on to say some places where she's been published. I'm used to submitting articles on the topic above as scheduled on an editorial calendar. I'm a certified English teacher and thus usually have little need for editors to spend time on grammar editing. Plenty of free time and willing to travel on assignment. So this is the type of thing that could also go in that last section where she's happy to take on last minute assignments if they've lost a writer or to travel on short notice. Also a photographer. Have always loved traveling, whether alone, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the kind of case where she doesn't have so much of a specific trade magazine fit, like this one that we saw before, where she has years of event and meeting planning, right? So what would be the right fit for somebody like this? So she has been a teacher and she's written for teaching magazines. So that's great because she has trade magazine experience. So this is the kind of thing where she can say in the either the personal or the trade industry experience or in the biggest batting writing experience that she has written as a teacher for the trade magazine in that industry. So this is the kind of thing where I would say if she has a specific interest and she hasn't shared her personal interest with us, I would recommend taking the fact that she does have a writing background, and obviously editors understand that teachers are going to be good writers even if they don't have a lot of publication credits, but she does have quite a few, to find the industry that fits her best. So it might be, like I said, hospitality design, or it might be, a meeting planning magazine, or it might be that she really likes to interview travel agents and talk about how that job is put together. So given this general background, this really falls into, this and this, a little bit of this and here, but she really needs to figure out which type of magazine she wants to focus on, and then take little bits from, maybe she's written a lot of service articles, and the magazine that she wants to pitch has a lot of service articles. Or, perhaps the magazine that she wants to pitch actually comes out every week, and so she can use the fact that she's used to submitting early and working off the calendar as an advantage. Okay, so let's look at our last one. I am a hybrid, active tour and travel business expert and writer slash blogger. This fuels my combined interest to receive a steady income stream now and to be active in my own industry as I build my 2.0 travel business. As I tailored recent blog posts to show samples of interviews, latest trends, app technology, and of course, regional information from recent trips. Please feel free to use me as a sample for the Introduction Travel Trade magazine. She's specifically interested in travel agents, tour companies, travel technology, and hotels. So in this case, she's got already her own business that does tours. So this is a very clear mapping to, like she says, the magazines that are for travel agents and tour companies. She also has a blog, and she's set up her blog to show, to create clips of the type of things that she would like to be doing for trade magazines. So this is great because if, for instance, let's go back again. In here, your biggest, baddest writing experience is just your blog, and maybe your blog isn't, Gary Arndt's blog, and you don't have a bunch of awards, then saying that you produce your own blog and you do this, this, and that type of articles can be great because even though, an editor might automatically assume that a blog is just destination pieces in a diary style, if you tell them that you have been writing under your own volition these type of pieces, that is a great piece of writing experience, especially if you can couple it with industry experience like she can. So this would be the kind of case where she would take her blog experience and say that I do have my own blog and I run it in a magazine style and feature this, this, and that type of articles. Then she can go into saying, and I think I would be a really great fit for your magazine because I also run a tour business. And then this is where she would say the particulars of her tour business, which tie into the magazine that she's looking for. So again, I'm not going to go back to Firefox, but if she's looking at pitching a magazine, what do we look at? We looked at Travel Agent at Home, right? They had a lot of service content, not so much destination content. So she would say, I run my own tour company for this many years, and I've travel shot all sorts of issues like this, 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 and this that I notice you've recently featured in the magazine, and I would love to contribute more articles of a service nature talking about the business side of how to run your tour company. And also in terms of the travel technology, this is the kind of thing where she can say, I run a tour company and I'm also a blogger, and so I am accustomed not only to using whatever is the new media technology to run my businesses, but also trying out the latest things to see if they're a fit. And perhaps in her trend pieces, and she says app technology, she can point to, and in fact, I've been profiling these on my site for other leisure travelers as well as people who run tour businesses to sample and try as well. So these are the three samples that I have for you. But if other people have specific questions about their backgrounds that didn't fall into some of the things that we addressed today, drop those in. And I'm just going to cruise back through earlier in the call when you guys were talking. Some people said that they have food experience. If you have a lot of food writing experience, then writing for meeting publications about those type of things I was talking about, like food trends, or they call it F&B trends for meetings and in the travel industry generally, can be a great fit. Another couple ones that people talked about. There's a lot of outdoors, and I mentioned this last week, but it didn't come up this week. But one of the sort of lesser understood, lesser known areas of the travel trade side is writing about things called incentives. And incentives are when people who work for a company, typically in a sales capacity, exceed their sales goal, then they get a trip. They get a free trip, usually somewhere very cool and very luxurious. And parts of those trips include activities like kayaking, bungee jumping, amazing meals on the cliff, and things like this. So if you have a lot of outdoor or luxury type experiences, then I recommend reaching out to places that cover incentives and also team building for corporate events. So when you have people all go out together and do an activity. So that's what I've got for you guys today. And we already went through this slide. So I just want to quickly remind you again that the letter of introduction in the travel trade industry is primarily the norm, but sometimes they will prefer a pitch. And so that's why we send the letter of introduction, but we end it by saying, if you want me to send you a full pitch on a particular topic, please let me know and I will do that. Because you don't want them, if they are a publication that takes pitches, which, like I said, isn't the norm, you don't want them to just assume that you've sent them a letter of introduction because you're too lazy to write a pitch. So you want to make sure that you tell them that you are, of course, available to do that and you're just waiting for some direction from them. And if you've got any questions, shoot me an email at questions@dreamoftravelwriting. And thanks for joining me. And I'll miss you guys next week when I'm in Japan, and I'll see you the week after. Cheers.